Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Oh boy, we got a good one here on Marvel Movie News today. There's news about Hawkeye, there's news about Spider-Verse 2, and I get to nerd out about Ant-Man, because Ant-Man 3 is back on the table. Let's talk Ant-Man and the Wasp story ideas and a whole bunch more today on Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Hey, good afternoon to you, our merry Marvelites! Welcome back to Marvel Movie News. We are coming to you live from Pim's laboratory. Because there's Ant-Man news, you guys. Ant-Man news.
I immediately thought of you when I saw it, and then I think like seconds after I saw it, you sent the group text to us in all capitals being like, it's Ant-Man 3, you guys!
Well, it was a great, like, 30 minutes of span where I was like, oh, nice, they confirmed Ant-Man, or like semi-confirmed Ant-Man 3 is happening. And then I'm like looking at Twitter, and it's like, as I'm looking at Ant-Man news, boop! Spider-Verse 2 officially posts its date as coming out in 2022. It was so exciting. Like, one of my favorite movies of last year. It's like, I want to say it's my favorite because it's one of my favorite movies of all time, but then last year was so crowded.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it was also on my birthday.
Oh, well, then it you have like, to choose it as your favorite
it,
now.
It was like, oh, no. I mean, like, Friday.
Oh, that the news came out.
When they broke the announcement of, it was like, hey, Marvel's just like, oh, hey, Zach, Ant-Man, Spider-Verse, like, here
Happy
you go.
Birthday.
Happy birthday. It was great. Thank
That's
you.
That's a good birthday present.
It was. Thank you for Disney for thinking of me. And Sony. They were competing for my love. Anyway, let's get into the show. Who are we? I'm Zach Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Gia Anderson.
Yeah. And I'm Christian Blatt.
I have my rival to the anti-voice of doom, Mr. Fantastic Ryan, in the booth with us today.
Yes. Oh, so excited to be here, y'all.
Oh, is he back with us this week? Oh. Ryan,
you're
thanks
never
so much
ever
for taking the time to do this show.
Well, that's why he's Mr. Fantastic. He's tall and lanky, but he...
He flakes.
Sometimes he flakes and he doesn't know what's good for him.
Ryan, you're never gonna
Says
live this
doom.
One down. Never.
Anyway,
shoot.
Let's get started on the show. Also, thank you to Colt Badeau, who's helping us on Twitter from the Star Jammer. Let's jump into Spider-Verse 2 news first, you guys.
Let's do it.
We already started talking about this, but yeah, so last Friday, last Thursday, actually, after we had gone off the air, they teased something happening, but there wasn't any news yet. They just said, like, stay tuned, basically. I forget what the exact tweet was, but they were teasing that something, like, your senses should be heightened.
Stay tuned. We're going to release some nonsense, not big news. Yeah, we all knew.
Then the next day, they released a very simple but official date confirming Spider-Verse 2 as happening on April 8th, 2022.
We only have 2 years to wait.
I imagine that this date had to be chosen. Maybe they were waiting until they could confirm the date for Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
For
the
home trilogy.
The live action Spider-Man film,
Because Disney was reportedly very unhappy with how close Spider-Verse 1 was to Far From Home.
I mean, I get it. I get spacing them out because you need to have a little bit of a break in between. I don't see people not going to see either one if they're really close to each other, but I do see wanting to space it out.
So it's, I agree that that's probably part of the reason. It's completely hypothetically, do you think that means that the live action Spider-Man will be in 2023 or maybe way at the end of 2022? Because I think you're right.
Well, we're getting it in 2021.
Oh, I missed that part. right.
Spider-Man 3 coming in July 2021.
Right. I'm already planning Spider-Man 4. That's my mistake. Sorry.
Where's the next one?
Yeah.
Spider-Man 3, Home for Hanukkah, not the official title, is coming July 2021. Right. And then April 2022, you're going to get your Spider-Verse 2.
I think that's good. I think that's perfect spacing.
So, yeah, you've got 9 months between them. I think that's a good break.
Yeah.
Look, we can always, no one's going to be arguing about too much Spider-Man. Except maybe Disney, because they're worried about oversaturation of the character. When movie tickets are average $15 in the country, you gotta space these things out, because even if somebody's only seeing Spider-Man stuff, it becomes a lot.
It does, especially if you have a family with kids. That's $15 per. What are kids' tickets? $10? I mean, regardless, that's a lot of tickets to have to get. Yeah, if you have a couple.
You don't want to be doing a Spider-Man movie every year,
right?
Because it's the lesson that Star Wars learned, is that much will overtax your audience and you'll start to lose people.
I can see that, yeah.
So it's risky. It's risky is all I'm saying.
It is kind of cool, though, with the Spider-Man. It's the same Spider-Man, but it is different characters. That is cool that you're getting both. And also, I mean, animated films take so long to make because it is so much work goes into it.
This is about as fast as I think we could have expected a sequel to happen. We do have some details about this, like very, very little pulling from things. One thing that's really interesting and makes me a little bit nervous about Spider-Verse 2 is it has a completely new creative team
behind it.
Now, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who wrote... and co-directed along with Rodney Rothman the first one, Phil Lord and Chris Miller will be producing, so they are still involved very intimately, but similarly to how they produced the Lego Movie 2, which did not perform nearly as well as the Lego Movie. I never even saw it. The trailers didn't interest me. But I love the Lego Movie 1.
Didn't perform as well.
The thing. So there is some concern there. Who is this new creative team, you might say? We've reported on a couple of this before, but it is going to be directed by Joaquim Dos Santos, who is a director. He has worked on Avatar The Last Airbender, The Legend of Korra.
Wait, the cartoon?
The cartoon.
Oh, okay, I was like...
No, who? M. Night Shyamalan directed that. No.
That's right.
He's an animation director who has worked on Avatar The Last Airbender,
Amazing.
The Legend of Korra. He also directed a couple of DC movies, like animated movies, including Superman/Shazam, The Return of Black Adam.
Okay.
So he has experience in animation, and especially high-octane, action-packed animation. So I see that. And writing the script is David Callahan, who has written a whole bunch of things. He's on the writing team for Wonder Woman 1984, as well as Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings.
This guy's all over the place. DC, Marvel, he's doing everything.
Yeah, so...
You know what? I have faith in this team, and I'm mostly saying that because I just love the Avatar: Last Airbender and Legend of Korra so much I'm fine with this.
That's the thing. It's not that these people are not as good or not good at making content.
Just different.
The creative team from the first one gave us such good stuff. Right. I just hope that it can continue in that same vein. I want the heart that came with it, the clear love for Spider-Man and everything that Spider-Man can be that we got in Into the Spider-Verse. It's why I loved that movie. What do you guys think? Do you think that we're going to get a sequel on par with the original?
I think we will, because look, that first movie is so good. Nobody's going to come in and be like, you know what we're going to do is we're going to take all the stuff that worked and throw it out and let's see what we could do that's completely different.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a great blueprint for what this movie will be. There's so many characters to visit with, and of course new characters that we haven't gotten to see. And
we have some news about that.
Yeah, we do. So I think that I'm sure that they're really excited to we're going to get to play in this really cool, well-designed sandbox that, made a ton of money. Great. We're not going to mess it up. Yeah. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, and I also think that along with that, just because you have the same creative team and the same writing team doesn't necessarily mean that the second one is going to be good. There's been many times when you come out with a great first product and then the second one falls flat and it's just like, you're like, oh, this just isn't as good as the first one. And I think you're right. It's like having a fresh set of eyes in there to be like, oh, I loved what we saw with this. Now let's take that and let's do this with it. But while still sort of staying true to what the first one was. Yeah. I think that hopefully that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, and Lord and Miller is still around, and if you start veering off a little too far, they'll be like, you know, hey, how about this or that? Excuse me. I'm sure they won't be too hands-on, but if it were to start to get too far away from that vision, I'm sure that they would help steer it back.
Yeah. I think we could. I mean, look at Deadpool 2, where you lost your like director to like difference of opinion and stuff. But you when they put out the sequel, it was great.
Yeah,
it wasn't. I would put it in a lot of ways pretty much on par with Deadpool 1. Like people will have preferences over the two, but they're both great. They're both fun, and they have different vibes while still being consistent. So.
Could I throw one thing out there, though?
Yeah, please.
I don't want to sound like I'm poo-pooing this.
Ryan
in the booth, yeah. I just feel like with that first Spider-Verse movie, it's just so many incredible creative things going on. But one of them was like the character Miles Morales as like a half-black, half-Hispanic character in New York, like becoming Spider-Man. I felt like that element of the story was so essential to why that movie works so well. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little... worried that maybe that won't carry over to this next film.
Well, you do have a Portuguese-born director for this one, so you do have somebody who can speak to like Miles's side of this this experience to a certain degree. Look, I'm not going to be able to be the person to comment on achieved.
I don't know that any of us can that are here on this panel or in the booth. But what I would say is, look, I mean, the first movie is a Miles Morales movie that happens to include all those other characters. I can't see why this wouldn't be the same. And I'm sure that they're very cognizant of what worked so well about Miles in that movie and making sure that they bring that to just continuing the story.
Well, yeah, and people really love Miles Morales, not just from Spider-Verse, but even from the comics. I've gotten like numerous fans and people being like, they really love that character. So I kind of just assumed that it was still going to be Miles Morales.
I don't think that anyone has challenged that it's going to be Miles's movie still. Look, Gwen Stacy is going to break off into her own spin-off.
But that's going to be a separate thing.
And I think she's still going to be in this one. Spider-Women has been confirmed to be in development. No date has been given, but it is happening. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if they didn't get Peter B. Parker back for this one. This was something I was going to talk about anyways. Like, who are we going to get back? And this is one of the dangers is you do want it to be Miles' story. You don't want to. You want to expand the idea of an infinite number of spider people. But you don't want to lose Miles in that. And that's one of the dangers is the temptation is to blow out this this Spider-Verse and like bring in so many different people. So let's see who are we going to have. Sorry, Zia.
No, I was just going to say, I think the other problem with that, too, is that we got his origin story. So now they're not telling his story anymore. It's going to have to be it's going to have to be based around him without wanting to expand too much.
I think you can do that as long as you focus on Miles for like the first act, the way that Spider-Verse did, where it's really just about him. And then you bring in Peter and then it's still about him. Even when everyone else gets involved, he's the thread and Miles needs to stay the thread here.
He's still going to anchor the movie and it's going to be his point of view of all these other spider characters that he's interacting with. You know, they're not going to really like, okay, and then this middle part of the movie is going to be about, you know, some of the other ones.
But let's look at who else is going to be there, because we're not just going to get I would be shocked if we didn't get at least the original set of characters back in some way, so that you get Spider-Ham, you get Spider-Man Noir, because like you're going to want to bring Nick Cage back in. You get Penny Parker.
And don't forget the teaser, the post-credit scene in the original, of course, we're going to get Spider-Man 2099.
I was building up to it.
All right.
You skipped over the best Spider-Man, Spider-Ham, sir.
You said him already.
Spider-Ham.
Did I? Well, he deserves to be mentioned twice.
He deserves his own movie.
Spider-Ham.
His own series, really. I love Spider-Ham.
I didn't think I said Spider-Ham. Either way.
You definitely did.
I said Penny Parker, but I didn't say Peter Porker.
No, you did.
You said Spider-Ham.
You didn't say Peter Porker. Either.
Chat back me up here. Anyway. Yes, we are going to get Spider-Man 2099, played by Oscar Isaac, who we revealed in the end. And we just found out via Twitter, thanks to Phil Lord, another...
That was his sound effect, not one of our phones.
It was a Twitter sound effect.
But it sounded like it was one of our
Twitter
phones.
Sound effect.
It really threw me off.
Yeah.
We are going to get one other spider character, or at least it looks like we will. Somebody was asking Phil Lord about a promise he had made... when Spider-Verse was originally in theaters, about Japanese Spider-Man from the 1970s live-action show.
Never seen this.
To which Phil Lord responded, he's designed. So that he's not saying it's in the movie, but they have designed a version of Takuya Yamashiro Spider-Man. And if you've never heard of the Japanese Spider-Man live action series, it's crazy, but it's fun. Oh, I'm losing my voice because I'm so excited. It is nothing to do with Peter Parker.
Nothing.
He has like the same basic costume and abilities to a certain extent as Spider-Man, but it's like just, it's a Jap. So like, Ryan, if you pull up in those photos that I sent you, we have, this is my favorite part about it. The other one first. He has a ship that he flies around in and we look at it now, called the Marveler.
Is that made from Legos? Did they actually make that from Legos when they did this?
I think off-brand Legos. Oh, okay. Not even actual
built
Legos.
Mega Bloks?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Made from Mega Bloks.
It's
awesome.
It's a 70s Japanese like monster fighting robot.
Yeah.
Because the Marveler doesn't just fly him around.
Nope.
The Marveler transforms.
Of course it does.
Into, and we could show that now, Leopardon.
Oh my god.
The giant mech robot. It's so good.
Can we please get this? I want to see this
you
now.
You want this whole movie.
I've never heard of this ever.
We'll have to watch this after
the show. This was the Japanese adaptation of Spider-Man from the 70s. And so the Leopardon is like, when you start doing Spider-Verse stuff, of all of the extremes, this one is like the silliest and craziest one because it's so out of nowhere. He did become Marvel Comics canon during the original Spider-Verse story because like once you started bringing this, like they had Leopardon come through one of the Spider-Verse portals to aid like the army of spider people. And so like you have this giant robot running around. So please give me that Leopardon in a big movie on the big screen.
The chat is not quite as excited as we are.
What? I want to hear why they're not excited about Leopardon.
Stardrew and Ivan Soto saying basically the same thing. Nah, looks like Power Rangers. And Gamer Girl says Spider-Man meets Transformers. Spider-Man meets Transformers. If that's supposed to be a knock, it's not, because that sounds awesome to me.
It
I
is
love that
100%
idea.
Spider-Man meets Power Rangers. Like, that is exactly what it was in the 70s, and that's what it still is. But it's such an extreme difference of what a Spider-Man can be, because it's so out of nowhere, that it's the perfect thing to do in this format, where I don't think he's going to be a main character necessarily. No. I think maybe it'll only pop up if we, like, are jumping between universes with the bracelet, that because at the end of the movie Miguel has developed the ability to control jumping through portals and not becoming unstable once you're there.
Stardrew, first of all, how dare you? Sounds like Zia didn't see Power Rangers either. Do you know who you're talking to? I'm sorry, I had to address that.
Might be talking about the movie.
Absolutely not. I've seen all of the Power Rangers.
Nadim Sheck says that, fun fact, Japanese Spider-Man is actually what inspired the Power Rangers. So that, and the timeline makes sense, because that's way before Power Rangers.
That's wonderful.
So yeah, I think...
I'm so sorry.
Look, I think having that many different kind... You know, if you can have a movie that has that, and Penny Parker... and film noir Spider-Man. Great. I want all these different sort of representations.
Well,
oh, it's Spider-Man.
Too.
You know,
look, there was originally supposed to be an Australian Spider-Man that was to be in the first one.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if you guys heard about that.
No, I didn't.
In one draft of the Into the Spider-Verse screenplay, they had introduced an Australian one who shows up at the very beginning of the movie and dies. His cells degenerate. It shows like what happens when, if you don't get back to your universe in time.
Oh.
And that was supposed to raise the stakes of, like, if you're not successful, you're gonna, like, if they can't get back in time, this is what happens.
I love that the Australian was the one that they were gonna kill, and then they didn't have him at all.
Well, it was because he was running 12 hours earlier. So he was 12 hours ahead, so he died 12 hours before. So it was like a ticking clock on, like, this is how long you have. But they decided it was too dark and too early to introduce that as a plot point, so they removed that character. Well, who knows? We might meet an Australian Spider-Man in this one.
Just give us all of them.
But we're gonna get Supida-Man. Supida-Man is coming, and that's all I need. I don't know if you guys are excited, but let us know in the comments below if you're watching After the Fact. We already heard from our live chat.
Yeah,
I want to hear from you guys
mixed.
Later. just know that we're excited. We're gonna skip over that story, but Let's talk about Ant-Man 3, you guys. Our lead story for today.
Is that happening? I'm surprised that you managed to hold off this long.
Because I had Spider-Verse and Leopard on to talk about. You're just giving me all of my favorite things at once. It's like because look, when I did my list of like my top favorite like characters in Marvel, like look, Peter Parker comes at the top of it. I love Ant-Man and the Wasp, but and they I think felt 2 and 3, but Peter Parker, he's the best character in like practically all of fiction, let alone just comic book fiction.
I mean, sure.
It's hard to top Peter Parker. I mean, you can make a case about others.
I was going
to
say,
so
in all
great.
Of fiction.
Yeah. Oh, you're. Well, Hamlet's better? Okay, stop.
Look, Harry I'm not going to say that he
fool?
Definitely is. No.
How dare you?
That's like asking me to pick between my children. but, like, which I don't have, so I don't really know what that feels like. But I think Peter Parker it might even be, like, a superior character to Spider-Man. It's a lively debate at the least.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ant-Man 3 is. Going to happen. It hasn't been officially announced by Disney. Disney's not saying Ant-Man 3 happening this date. But the Hollywood Reporter did put out an article that said that Peyton Reed has been attached to direct Ant-Man 3. So they've started work. And then Michael Douglas, like I think seeing this out in the news, was just like, oh yeah, we're shooting that in 2021.
Oh, that's hilarious. I wonder if he got in any trouble for that, because like, we haven't officially announced
it. It's Michael Douglas. What are you going to do?
I know, but...
You're going to throw Gordon Gekko back in jail? He's fine. Don't worry about Michael Douglas. And this ties into sort of what we were talking about last week when Paul Rudd was on with Howard Stern. He was point blank asked if there was going to be another Ant-Man, and he said, I can't say anything, but you might notice my face is twitching. So he clearly knew what was about to come out, but he wasn't allowed to talk about it yet. So very exciting.
I wonder why they did this. They held back on that. Did they decide late, or were they like, we're just gonna surprise everybody with Ant-Man?
So the rumor of the if they're shooting in 2021, and the rumor about when it's gonna happen, based on like all the like the leak about Peyton Reed being hired and everything, is that it would drop in 2022. And Marvel just hasn't announced movies or shows for that year yet.
Okay.
They announced for 2020 and 2021. People are saying basically this is phase 4 is these 2 years of movies, and phase 5 is going to be 2022 and 2023.
So Ant-Man is just going to be in phase 5, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they also didn't officially announce... Well, they officially announced Black Panther 2, but like they didn't really give us that as like part of these like schedule. And like same thing with Captain Marvel 2. Like they're like, we're doing it, but we're not telling you when. The only reason I think that they made sure to put Black Panther's date on the books, like where they did when they didn't even have a title for it, was to be like, we're going to make it. Like,
right,
just so that you guys don't think we're not working on this. We are absolutely working on this. Because it was one of their biggest hits, but also one of their Marvel's first like big look. We've put a person of color at the front and center, and it went amazingly well. We're not discounting that. It's just not in this at that stage yet. So Ant-Man 3 is in the year that hasn't been announced yet. So Peyton Reed is back to direct again. So whether you want to call this Ant-Man 3 or Ant-Man and the Wasp 2, or like most Marvel movies now, probably not going to just have a number.
Yeah, I would expect
it'll just
number.
Be
Ant-Man
and the Wasp
something or other.
Something with
Ant-Man,
a subtitle.
The Wasp and someone else.
And maybe Stature or Stinger, perhaps? Yes, please. But let's talk about what might be in Ant-Man 3. I have some fun ideas.
I'm not surprised. I want to hear your guys' ideas.
So I talked about my favorite idea for it a couple weeks ago. But I really want to see, and I think it would be really interesting to get Eric O'Grady into this, who is the irredeemable Ant-Man, because I think that there was something amazingly perfect in an arc of Scott Lang's story where Eric O'Grady comes in and steals the Ant-Man suit from Scott. In the comics, he steals the Ant-Man suit from Hank Pym while he's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I think it would be perfect if he stole it from Scott. So Scott, as the master burglar, getting robbed. And that's a big plot point for Ant-Man 3.
I think that'd be super fun. And then he has to rely on the Wasp a lot, because then he's essentially sort of lost his not his powers, but his suit.
Well, I think it's more about like what are the dangers of somebody out there, one, robbing a place as Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a classic like Spider-Man story at that point where there's like somebody impersonating him, like doing that stuff. I think that, look, he's got Hank and Janet on his side now. Like, they'll make him a second suit. Like, he'll have another suit, but it becomes this, but it's just like a different Ant-Man, maybe with newer tech so that he's like more in more advanced stuff. We'll have to see. That could be really fun.
I'd like to see some kind of a spin on Fantastic Voyage, or more recent movie would be Inner Space, where you have to shrink down and save somebody's body on the inside. And I think it should be one of our heroes. It should be somebody that we really care about, and they have something super obscure, and it's like, well,
microsurgery.
Yeah, so he goes in and does some kind of microsurgery.
Oh, you know, there actually is justification for that in Scott Lang's backstory.
See, I did not know that.
The original Scott Lang story is a two-part story where Cassie, like, the whole reason that he steals the Ant-Man suit is because he needs the money to pay for heart surgery for Cassie Lang.
Oh,
well, there you go.
And that was like in the original stories. You have what's his name from the first movie? I'm blanking out. David Cross is actually a giant pink man who has been murdering homeless people to steal their hearts because his heart is giving out.
Holy crap.
And he like keeps going through them because he's just enormous.
Right.
And that's like his whole plot line.
I love that plot line.
And he kidnaps Cassie Lang at one point and is like, you have to steal the stuff. And that's when he gets the Ant-Man suit and all that stuff and begins robbing places.
Question from the chat from Cam A. Egan. Here's the rest of their question. Do you think they'll bring back Lawrence Fishburne as Goliath?
Maybe.
Yeah. Certainly they could if the story dictates it. I'd like to see it. I'd also like to see him actually, you know, be Goliath.
I don't think we're going to get that. I'll be honest. I think if he comes back, it'll only be because Ghost is going to be involved in the storyline.
Yeah.
And I think if Ghost is going to be involved, and she very well might be, it'll be because my second big idea, I think Janet Van Dyne either losing control of her powers or needing to go back into the microverse. Because of what it has done to her body.
Like, she spent so much time there that she can't be out of the microverse anymore.
Maybe. Or she needs to go back every now and again. So one of the big things they cut from Ant-Man and the Wasp was a whole sequence inside the world that we found her in, because there's a society down there. Those, like, all those creatures, all those things you could see in the background, they're, like, people, for lack of a better word, in there that are, like, intelligent beings that she lived among for all those years. If you buy you get the Ant-Man and the Wasp art book, you can actually see the designs of these things.
Wow.
They just didn't do that whole part because it wasn't really necessary for the story of the movie. But I would be shocked if we didn't go down there for some reason or another. I could see, maybe it's that the microverse is being attacked. This is another idea. So we saw a bunch of Pym particles get away in the first Ant-Man. And then he's got this little loose thread. It gets away with that Hydra guy. Now, that doesn't Hydra's not really around anymore, but what if AIM gets their hands on it?
I like that.
AIM gets their hands on it. Maybe they accidentally shrink somebody's body but leave their head real big.
Hey, wait a minute.
While they're experimenting on it. I'm just saying, you could justify a MODOK that way.
Whatever it takes to get MODOK, a live-action MODOK.
I was going to say, live-action MODOK. Oh, yeah.
We're getting an animated MODOK, but I really want a live action.
Or you just have to be about him. Put him in something.
You just accidentally giant man his head permanently.
Yeah.
And that's why he's floating around on the floating chair thingy.
I like it.
If AIM is then going into, in order to get all of this power, going into the microverse and pulling energy out of it, they might be destroying this society that Janet Van Dyne got to know. So they have to go in to defeat AIM in the microverse. And maybe Eric O'Grady is working with AIM to do all this. I'm just saying, there's a lot of cool ideas floating around.
I was going to say, what if one of these ideas that you've been like talking about actually gets made, and you're like, this is what I wanted.
I mean, when you throw enough things against the wall, like, something's going to stick.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what if it's exactly what you asked for, Zach?
Thank you. Then thank you, Marvel.
Yeah, it's the birthday gift that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a lot of fun at Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I think that Peyton Reed is going to do a great job with these characters. I'm excited to see Hope and Scott really like blossom as a couple.
I wish I had pulled the comment. You might be able to find it on Marvel News Daily. Someone talked about how much they hate Peyton Reed and like aren't excited about. Yeah, they were like, we're not excited about him being a part of this again. They were like, oh, and I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
I mean, they're entitled here, but that's interesting.
What do you think of Peyton Reed? Like, look, I think he was up against a very difficult situation in the first Ant-Man. That movie's not great, but he also had next to no time to prep it because he was taking over for Edgar Wright. And, like, that decision is a separate issue that, like, look, I would so love to see Edgar Wright's Ant-Man or at least read the script for what he wanted to do.
Absolutely.
But, like, look, things don't always work out the way you want them to. And, like, it wasn't going to fit in the MCU.
Well,
it happens.
And considering, like you're saying, what he had to work with, I still thought it was good. I still went and enjoyed it, and I laughed, and I had a good time. And I think that if that's all, you know, that's kind of all I'm hoping for with Ant-Man. It's not going to be as heavy as the other ones.
Now, here's a question for you guys. It's not going to be as heavy. It's going to be super silly. So one thing that I think is we have to get in this, Cassie Lang.
People in the chat were saying that they're I think it was Langley M. Neely that was disappointed that if we don't that if they the only way to do that would be in flashbacks, and I'm not exactly sure why.
Cassie?
Well,
we have her now, she's just older.
Maybe that's why he wanted to see her age into the role. I think is what he wanted.
I don't necessarily need that, but I think now that you've got the also alternate title, because I was about to say you have multiple Ant-Man and Wasp. What if the title is just Ant-Men and the Wasps? Because you've got two of each now.
Yeah.
You've got Hank Pym and Scott Lang, and you've got Janet Van Dyne and Hope Van Dyne.
Ant-Man's
or Hope Pym.
And
I don't know
Wasps.
Which one is actual Kim.
Ant-Man.
There you go.
Ant-Man's sounds better.
No, it doesn't.
Come on.
Ant-Men and the Wasps. Since Hank can't really do it anymore, because, like, he said that he's just physically incapable, but, like, Ant-Man and the Wasps. If there's if you just get Janet and Hope flying around as two wasps, my heart. it'd be so good. But I would love to see Cassie Lang suit up as either
absolutely.
Stature, because we know that she wants to, and we know that in the comics she absolutely does. Marvel is even, they just announced a new comic series. The new Ant-Man series is going to focus on Scott and Cassie as Ant-Man and Stinger are the two characters that they're going to be.
I would not be at all surprised if they went with that storyline. At all. Especially if they're writing new comics about it. And it's sort of in line with what they've been doing with more inclusivity. As long as they make it good.
And it could be a thing about, like, wanting to do what your parents do. And, like, what is it like when, like, your kid is trying to do something that you maybe don't want them to be involved in,
well,
but it's what they love?
Because it's incredibly dangerous. And, I mean, hello, look at you as a, oh my gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, influence over your kids. And that's what you're doing. And, of course, they're going to want to do it, especially if they, like, look up to you. That's not altogether surprising, but that is definitely something that I feel like parents that are in sort of dangerous professions, they always want something better for their children.
I could totally see this being like the simple version of the story is about an overprotective dad. Because here's the thing. For Scott, he didn't see her grow up. She's still a little girl to him. He didn't see her mature or like become an adult, but she's had to live in the post-Infinity War blip world for 5 years. She grew up. I'm sure she grew up real fast with dealing with all of that and, like, thinking she lost her dad and then getting him back. It's a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
So he's, like, trying to protect her and make her not do this, but she's all about it. And I'll bet Hope is all about it too. I was like, you got to give her a shot. He's like, no, she's in danger. And then Judy Greer comes in, like, I don't know which side Judy Greer, but no, you're not being a superhero.
Senor Nerd wants to know, what do we think of this idea? Ant-Man 3 being the introduction of the Fantastic Four.
How would you do that?
Interesting. Well, I'm curious on the
heading into the microverse, and, you know, you feel like Reed Richards could get there maybe from somewhere else, you know, and then maybe you run into them in the microverse.
I mean, Hank knowing Reed Richards, maybe you just meet Reed through Hank, because, like, we did confirm that Michael Douglas is going to be there. I think that's an obvious one. But, so it could be maybe we just meet Reed.
Yeah, I think that would be a great start.
And that's how you sort of thread them in very slowly so that you can either jump in from the get-go without having to worry about getting to know the characters, or, you just need more super scientists. I don't know that I would want to cram in the Fantastic Four this way.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be my favorite introduction for them.
Because I do think you need to do some sort of origin story for them in the MCU.
A good one?
Spider-Man could get away without the origin story.
Well, yeah, that's
but
fine.
I think that whenever you do the Fantastic Four setup, you're going to need to show us how they were brought into existence.
Right, because they didn't do a good job of that last time. We deserve a good origin story.
It's not even... Well, I don't even necessarily want the origin story. I would love if they could do it and then, like, do it in 5 minutes and then cut to them, like, where they've been the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, fine.
Because I don't need the movie to be the origin story, but you are going to have to figure out... They can't just have existed since the 60s, or in the background. They're too big.
Yeah.
The way the Fantastic Four work is too big. It's not like Spider-Man who's flying under the radar. So maybe if it's in a very small way, I would say to that. While we're talking about movies.
I was just going to say, Gamer Girl says, or they find the F4 trapped in the microverse maybe as an Easter egg. A little something like
now,
that.
Now, that I could see if they found the ship in a post-credit sequence.
Right, and it's like, oh, there's nobody in this ship. Well, where are they?
They find them there, and they just find the lifeless, or not lifeless, but like the passed out bodies of these 60s travelers.
Yeah, something like that. I wouldn't mind that.
Why is this guy covered in rocks? Black. and then we pull them back in for them to like open up into their, so yeah, that I could see if it's something very subtle like that. But it needs to be small. I don't want it to be like a big team up and then
you don't want them stealing this movie from Ant-Man. It's his movie. It's fine if the Wasps
it's not
are
just
in there.
His movie. No. It's his and her movie. It's Ant-Man first. And the Wasp.
But it's not Ant-Man, the Wasp, the Fantastic Four, and somebody else we want to throw in
there. Yeah. And I'm sure that there will be some other MCU characters popping up in this movie somewhere. It's inevitable, the way the Falcon did in the first one. It's just a question of who.
Yeah.
Especially because he's now in, like, a full-on Avenger, like, help save the world. Like, it's gotta come up.
The one that they make fun of the most. Oh, you want to go to space?
I mean, I want to go to space, too.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep going. We're talking about movies. The big movie award season has started to kick off. Mm-hmm. The Oscars are on the table, and Disney has started their push to award season, and Endgame is going to be, it looks like, pushed in a whole bunch of categories this year. They started putting out some posters. They're pushing it for basically when we say pushing for, studios have to submit the movies and the actors and the people that they want to be nominated. They have to file forms that are saying, we want you to consider these people for awards. That doesn't mean that, and so they've put out those things. They're going to be submitting them for all kinds of the technical stuff, cinematography, costume design, visual effects, directing. They've submitted the Russo brothers for best director. And they've also submitted 13 different actors and actresses for awards. All of them under supporting. Which is an interesting note, no one's the lead in that movie.
You can't even argue that that Tony's the lead. You know, I mean, it's such an important movie for him, but he's also supporting. But I hope that they submitted Bradley Cooper for Rocket. and I mean, obviously, the reason why this push starts now, because the actual Oscars telecast is usually at the end of February, is there's a lot of events that happen. I mean, a few weeks ago, I talked about something I went to at the Writers Guild with Marcus and McFeely. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of stuff like that. A lot of Q&As for, you know, various guild members, anybody who can vote. So it just depends. And I think that's what Robert Downey Jr. was talking about when he said that he doesn't really want to chase after it.
So that's the interesting thing is, so these are the actors that Marvel is pushing. So for Best Supporting Actor category, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Chris Hemsworth, Jeremy Renner, Josh Brolin, Paul Rudd, and Don Cheadle. I'm really interested that Josh Brolin is on that list.
Yeah.
Because sure. I less so for this movie, he didn't have as much emotion to deal with, but in Infinity War, I thought he was like, this is like, between him and the graphics team, they had created such an amazing, powerful emotions from a CGI character in a way that we've seen very few times before.
I think as like Smeagol is a notable time, or not Smeagol, Gollum.
Same thing.
Yeah. Well, Smeagol's before Gollum, but yeah.
They're both. He's both. Anyway.
So I think you're right. Absolutely. That was pretty interesting.
And in the actress category, you've got Scarlett Johansson, Gwyneth Paltrow, Zoe Saldana, Karen Gillan, and Brie Larson all being submitted. So it's a lot of actors for, look, it's going to be a competitive category. It always is. And like, yeah. It's for superhero movies, comic book movies to get in there is a challenge. It's not that it hasn't been done. And everyone's talking about Joaquin Phoenix as a shoe-in to get nominated for Joker.
Absolutely.
Certainly to get nominated. Yeah.
Not in the same category, though, because he's the lead, which is interesting. But I wonder if that's going to affect Endgame's chances with the acting, if they're like, well, look, this is a different level of comic book, and like, what was Robert Downey Jr. doing?
Yeah, but you're going to have your old guard Academy voters that are like, I'm putting in one comic book movie, and that's it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not fair to take away from the actors in these movies. You cannot like them, but to say that the acting wasn't good or their performances weren't like amazing or great is just kind of ridiculous at that point.
I mean, look, Black Panther took a lot of awards last year.
Yeah.
So like, it's there. They took mostly technical stuff, and I think Endgame will get its technical awards.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of those categories, absolutely. Who do you think of this list may realistically get a nomination?
Robert Downey Jr.
I think he's most likely to get a nomination. I do not think he will win. Not because he wasn't great. It's just the bias against it. He's the one... Yeah. In all honesty, that jumps out. As great as everybody that you listed off was, I don't see anybody else getting a nomination.
I agree. Everyone was good in the movie, but only he really had the territory to warrant a nomination like this. Robert Downey Jr. has said he is not interested in campaigning for an award. Because, like, look, there's a lot of things that you have to go out and do meet and greets
and he's done that
interviews.
Before. It's been a while since Chaplin, but I don't think it worked out for him, so I don't think he's interested.
Which movie was
it? It was for Chaplin.
When was
that's
like
in like the early 90s?
Because like 92, let's not forget. Yeah. He was also nominated in the 2000s for a little movie called Tropic Thunder.
You forget because it's
absurd. Wow. But like, if he could get nominated for Tropic Thunder, which don't get me wrong, I love that movie, and I actually do think there is justification for him being nominated for that role.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think he could absolutely get nominated for his portrayal as Tony Stark in Endgame.
Agreed. Absolutely.
And I really hope that he does. I hope that the Academy like takes a look and is like, look, this is also the Academy does this, like, it's also a nomination for 10 years of playing Tony Stark.
And playing it amazingly. He made so many people care about a character that not that many people knew who it was or who he was before that. You know what I mean? Like, there's comic book nerds and people that watched the 90s the cartoon in the 90s, but as far as like broad audiences go, not that many people knew who Iron Man was, and you have a ton of fans who became fans because they watched the movies because of Robert Downey Jr.
I think a lot of people knew Iron Man as like a second tier superhero, but probably a lot of people didn't know, what's the name of the guy in the suit? You know, but Tony's now it's like you think of Tony first because of Robert Downey Jr.
I do think Scarlett Johansson has an outside shot. I think she did a lot of great work in Endgame. I do think she's sort of put her foot in her mouth a little too much this year, and that might hurt her chances. But I would say, and the fact that there's a Black Widow movie coming, I think actually hurts her chances of getting nominated, because it's weird to be like, I had my big death scene, but I got a movie coming out next year playing the same character.
I still think that they just messed up with that movie, the timing on it. It should have come out before all of this.
Look, I you're not wrong, but better late than
never. I agree.
She's more likely to be nominated for Jojo Rabbit, in all honesty. So.
That's true. I did forget about that.
She's fantastic.
She's amazing in Jojo Rabbit. I highly recommend. Yeah. If you like Thor Ragnarok, which is the same, because it's Taika Waititi. Taika Waititi, who directed Thor Ragnarok, also directed Jojo Rabbit. Taika Waititi played Korg, the rock monster alien. Now he plays Adolf Hitler. He does it brilliantly, I will say. It's a fascinating take. He really studied for that role. Highly recommend it, but we're getting off topic. You're right, though. I think Scarlett Johansson
for that. Yeah.
I don't disagree. Anyway, let's, speaking of Endgame, this will be exciting for you guys. If you weren't the type that like rushed out and already bought Endgame on Blu-ray, which to be honest, I think most of you that are listening to this or watching this probably did. But if you didn't and you're planning on buying Disney Plus, good news, Endgame is coming to Disney Plus months earlier than we thought.
Correct.
We had originally thought it was going to be towards the end of the year or even in January when it would jump streaming. But Disney announced yesterday that Endgame will be available on Disney Plus day one. So next Tuesday, November 12th, when Disney Plus drops, it's next week, you guys.
Oh, my God.
Just a few days.
Endgame will be the eighth Marvel movie available on Disney Plus.
I mean, I have it, but, you know, yeah. Still, like,
it's... I have it. I can click it on Vudu or Amazon via, like, movies anywhere. Like,
yeah.
Click, and then I could watch it. But it's still cool.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's still very cool that
it's there. Absolutely. It's one more streaming platform that I feel the need to watch something on so that I can see the little, like, check that you've watched this.
Because yes.
That's, like, yeah. Some, like, weird OCD collector nonsense. Like,
no, I'm with you.
Yeah, if you're a comic book collector, I think you understand that feeling of, like, well, I've watched this. I own it on a disc, but the streaming thing doesn't know that I've watched it, so I'll watch it here as well.
Oh, I've done that where I've watched stuff, because my husband and I have separate accounts, and there's most stuff that we watch together, I watch on his, and then if I just watch some random nonsense on mine, but if I start a series with him and then finish it on my own, I have to go through and fast forward through all of the episodes so it shows right. Watched.
That's next level. I've never done that, but
it
I get the
bothers
but, I,
me.
But I fully understand the feeling behind it.
Yes, thank you, Zach.
all right. So speaking of Disney Plus, there's some Hawkeye news coming through today. Before that, this is important to all of the Disney Plus things. Kevin Feige. So Christian, you read the Disney Feige. You were talking about it on the Daily.
Marvel News Daily.
So fill us in. What did Kevin Feige say about Disney Plus?
It's fairly simple. He just stated what I think a lot of people expected, that you'll need to watch the Disney Plus shows to keep up with what's going on in the MCU. And he says that, and I'm sure he means it. I also feel like you'll probably be able to see the movies and be okay with missing it. But he's telling you right now, it's like, do you really want to understand it? You got to watch everything, which for us, those of us here right. at the desk and everybody in the chat, we were going to do it anyway. But there are probably going to be people that go like, okay, I guess I should keep up with that stuff.
Well, and also, I think I said this before we filmed Marvel News Daily when we covered that. I think I brought up the point of, like, even if you're not going to watch it, you will have a friend that did watch it and can just fill you in and be like, oh, that's because of this stuff. And they'll be like, oh, okay, cool. And so I think, like, regardless whether you want to watch them or not, but if you're a hardcore fan, I think you were going to watch them anyway. And then you can, you know, go into the movies knowing everything.
Right. It's probably going to be like people who watched The Defenders after giving up on Iron Fist after a couple episodes. You kind of got it.
Yeah.
But there was stuff that you really didn't know exactly what was going on.
It's fine.
But, I mean, and it's something that they hadn't said before. And he also said that that the Loki show was going to directly tie into the MCU, right?
He did say that. And he said that he'd never said that before. So I don't know if we're going to then get Loki in the future of MCU, but... You know,
maybe he didn't say that, but I feel like we
just
that.
Kind of it was implied. He just never confirmed.
I feel like it'd come out maybe in leaks or whatever.
Right.
But anyway, speaking of other upcoming Disney Plus shows, let's talk about Hawkeye.
Yes.
Because some interesting news. One, this is a quick one, but apparently Kevin Feige in this similar talk was talking about Hawkeye was originally developed to be a movie.
Yes, and we actually also covered that on Marvel News Daily.
Well, we're talking about it here too.
What did Feige say about that decision and what made them nervous?
They were nervous to approach Jeremy Renner to tell him the news because obviously they had already promised him a movie, so they were like, I don't know how he was going to take it, but apparently he took it really well and was like, yeah, let's do it. We're going to go for it.
He's been outspoken before about like. He was frustrated after the first Avengers because he felt he didn't have a lot of acting to do.
Right.
Because he was mostly playing a mind warped zombie in that film. So, but then they beefed up his role for like Ultron. And as he goes, he gets to do more emotional stuff.
Infinity War and Endgame,
he got a lot to do. So I can see why Feige might have been nervous, but apparently he was totally on board with it. Who might not be on board in multiple ways of the words is Hailee Steinfeld. Ooh. Now, we previously talked about Hailee Steinfeld as somebody who Disney had supposedly reached out to and offered a contract to play Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series, which pretty much all but said out loud confirmed for the Disney Plus show. Right. They've literally used her comic logo from the Fraction run.
Oh, people have been talking about Kate, it like it's fact Kate this
Bishop,
whole time.
Kate Bishop is in it. There's no questions, really. But who's going to play Kate Bishop apparently is up in the air. So the rumor is that Haley... So not the rumor first, but what Haley Steinfeld said this week that's at the Soft is she was giving an interview and was asked about the Hawkeye series. That's not something that's necessarily happening. We're going to wait and find out, I guess. Now, that could be a very smart and clever diversion because it has not been officially announced and she's not free to talk about it because there's been no official press release. It could also be that she's not going to be in the show.
Well, and there's also, you know, this is standard Hollywood stuff. She could be holding out for more money and trying to see what happens. Yeah. She also, who knows? I mean, when they plan to shoot it, maybe she's doing like Bumblebee 2 and 3 back to back. We don't know what she's obligated to do in the near future.
Well, she did just have her new show on Apple Plus that dropped this week, Dickinson. Came out on Friday.
Oh yeah,
with Apple Plus, and the rumor is that her contract with Apple may prevent her from taking this job. There may be a non-compete that she's it's the kind of thing where if that show gets renewed, she may have a non-compete while she's working on Dickinson, at least with other streaming platforms, which would prevent her from working on Hawkeye. It could just be that the timing doesn't work out if it gets picked up for a second season, because they haven't officially picked it up. But I imagine Hawkeye is going to be shooting pretty soon, like maybe not this year, but next year or the year after.
Is a good guess, yeah.
And yeah, if it starts filming next year, Dickinson would probably be in a similar boat. She just may not be able to do it time-wise. Are you guys disappointed?
Yeah, you know, I've only seen her in Bumblebee, but I really liked her, and I just think she embodies the character really well. So yeah, it's definitely a bummer, because having her play that character, you know, oh, I'm going to go into this, I'm going to enjoy her performance, she's a great actress. So after that, it's kind of, if you're like, I don't know what I'm going to get, I don't know who we're going to get. So yeah, definitely disappointed in a small way, but I'm hoping that if they do have to recast, they'll do a good job, because they mostly do.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was looking forward to it. It seemed like really good casting, and again, really based primarily on Bumblebee. Yeah. But I think I'm not worried about them finding somebody who would be great to play Kate Bishop one way or the other. So it's disappointing, but I'm not like less excited for the show. It's not that level of bad news for me.
Yeah. So exciting stuff. So that we can look forward to. Real quick, before we sign out, because we're almost out of time, you guys should go check out the trailer for the Marvels podcast that they just released.
Yeah.
This is the Alex Ross and Kurt Busiek story that is about, like, from a human journalist perspective on all these big Marvel happenings, especially the ones from like the 60s. It's a fantastic comic, and it sounds like it's going to be an amazing podcast to listen to, like audio drama style. I'm so excited. Go check it out.
Also, does it say they're featuring Method Man?
Method Man is the voice of Ben Urich
on
the Daily Bugle.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So in.
It comes out on November 20th on Stitcher Premium, which you have to pay for.
Yeah.
It'll be available for free on other podcast services sometime next year, not officially announced.
Awesome.
I may sign up for Stitcher Premium finally. I was fine to wait for the Wolverine ones.
Right,
I don't think I can wait for this one. I'm just real pumped to listen to it. We'll just have to wait and see. So check that out soon. Guys, thank you so much for joining us this week on Marvel Moon News. Thank you for letting me nerd the F out about Ant-Man.
Well, we knew it was going to be an Ant-Man nerd fest, definitely coming into this one.
So let us know in the comments below what you think Ant-Man 3 should be about or could be about. Did any of our ideas excite you? Do you have your own ideas? Are you nervous about Spider-Verse 2 with all the changes? Are you excited about Leopardon, or do you think we're idiots? No opinion is wrong. Leopardon is cool. but let us know in the comments below or tweet at us. You can find the show at Marvel News PTN. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ZachWilson. Zia.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @Zia_Land. It's spelled XIA_Land.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And you can find Zia and I, as we mentioned earlier, every weekday on Popcorn Talk for Marvel News Daily. And you can see from last week, we did a special live version of my personal podcast, The Blackcast, Blackcast 350, yes. And the news on Spider-Verse and Ant-Man broke while we were doing the show live. So we were very excited. But you can find that at blackcast.com, BLADTCAST.com.
This has been Marvel Movie News. Be sure to rate, like, subscribe, all that stuff that you hear everyone on the internet asking you to do. It's really helpful. It actually is. It seriously is
super helpful.
Until next time, guys, this has been Marvel Movie News. Excelsior!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.